Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the big show here. It's a Wednesday, and as we do on Wednesday, we bring in Dee Dee Hanson to the growing place to learn something about ourselves and how to better improve our lives. We've been talking about positive psychology for a rather lengthy period of time, and it's been very interesting. There's so many different aspects of it, so many different layers. And we're talking today, continuing our discussion with Dee Dee, about the strength of heart and gratitude. And let's bring on Dee Dee onto the show. Good morning, Dee Dee. How are you?
I am very well, and I just want to thank you for having me on your show. I was thanking God this morning for this show and for the grace to be on it, and I want to thank you too, and I want to thank the listeners for listening.
You know, I've actually heard, we hear very positive things about when you're on the show. We learn so much, and so, gratitude. Gratitude,
yes.
Both ways.
Yes, exactly.
Gratitude. And so let's talk about gratitude and where we left off last Wednesday.
Yes, well, we've been talking about what does the Bible say about gratitude. And we've covered 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to be thankful in all circumstances. And remember, that's not the same as being thankful for everything that happens. Mm-hmm. It's to be thankful no matter what happens. Then we already discussed Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. And we talked about God's character, regardless of what he does or doesn't do for us, is a reason to be thankful.
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah, we were talking about how difficult that can be to talk about being gratitude when you go through a grieving situation.
Yes.
It's hard to imagine being gratitude toward God when you're probably very angry at God.
It's hard. And, you know, if we do go to the place of gratitude, we will become less angry.
Uh-huh.
Because Jesus promised, remember, in John 16:33, he said, in this world you will have tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
My husband likes to say, I wish people would needlepoint that and put it up on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Because we seem to think that once we become a Christian, we shouldn't have any trouble. But he said, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, or take heart, or be encouraged,
mm-hmm.
because I have overcome the world.
And you know, it's inevitable. That's the thing. Grief is going to happen to all of us.
Yes.
And all we do is we stave it off.
Yes.
We're lucky. We're blessed. And for me, it's been that way. I know that, and I think constantly in my life that I'm constantly trying to be prepared that there's going to be a day when I'm going to have to face the grief, whether it's my own life or, God forbid, anything that happens to any of my family, that there's going to be grief and changes in people's lives. It's inevitable. And do all of us kind of go through, not all of us, I mean, I know you don't. I try not to do that.
Well, hold it. Wait a minute. What is this?
Well,
maybe
I do.
I
think a lot of people, Gidi, probably go through life thinking, oh, there was a tragedy. There was a little boy that got killed at a water park. There was a little boy that got killed near Disneyland with an alligator. And that's not going to happen to me. That's not going to happen to anybody that I know. And I think we saw a lot of
I used to have those thoughts until a lot of dear ones began to die.
Yes.
Then it changed my perspective.
And that's why I think it's so important to think about gratitude. You know, as
yes.
we go through each day of our life when things are going well and saying, gosh, I am so blessed, I'm so lucky, and being very grateful. And I find myself as I get older, because it gets closer, that there's going to be some grief in my life, and it's going to be in everybody else's. Anyway, I got off on a tangent there.
No, actually you didn't, because you are already building the muscles of gratitude. So when mm-hmm. the hard times come, you've got that strength.
I hope.
I hope.
We all hope.
Yeah, because if we're all sour and we're not grateful for what we have,
mm-hmm.
It predisposes us much more towards bitterness and anger when grief does hit us.
Yeah, we try not to be, I think we try not to be morbid. There's a difference between being morbid.
Absolutely.
And being realistic and being prepared for
exactly.
when something is going to happen. And I think And the Bible does talk about that. I mean, you just said it. What verse was that?
The end of John chapter 16, verse 33. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, or take heart, or be encouraged. I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
And this he said before he even went to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he had the faith of it, and he wanted to impart that heart strength. Encourage literally means strength of heart.
Well, when he talked about you'll have tribulation, when I heard words like that, I thought, you know what he's talking about? He must be talking about the world will have big tribulation. Maybe he was talking about all of us individually. Each individual will have tribulation as opposed to the entire world.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
That word tribulation triggers all of our theology about the end times. But in its context, in different translations, it doesn't use the word tribulation. It just says hardship, difficulties, suffering, you know, whatever translation you're looking at.
So Jesus was talking about each of us individually.
Yes, and I think as a whole, as a church.
Okay.
So let's look at today's scripture. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 and 58. This, Paul is writing about the resurrection of Christ in this chapter. So these verses are in the context of Christ's resurrection, and I'm reading from the NIV. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
We'll continue our discussion, talk about that verse, and how it affects our lives in today's world with Dee Dee Hansen of A Growing Place. And we'll continue our discussion right after this.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is live local talk.
So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm
welcome back to the show, The Growing Place. Introducing a new series, Intro to Boundaries. This series is designed to improve your coaching relationships. The series begins tomorrow, September 1st, Thursday. It will go on all the way through October 20th, every Thursday for 8 weeks, beginning at 6:30 in the evening and lasting until 8 in the evening. The Growing Place is at 1074 East Avenue, Suite A3. The best thing to do if you want to learn more about it, there is a cost for it, $120 for individuals for the entire 8 weeks, $200 for couples. Really a good idea for somebody who might be a couple having some relationship issues. Registration deadline, of course, comes up fairly soon, but you can still contact them at 518-5859. Connie Nicholas, a certified life coach, 518-5859. And Gidi, maybe you could just real quickly before we move on with our discussion, what people get from this Intro to Boundaries? What do we
Oh, well, this is so awesome. The DVD series is put on by Cloud and Townsend, who wrote that famous book in the 1990s called Boundaries. Mm-hmm. So it's from the authors themselves, and it's an intro. And following the DVD, there's a discussion period where you can ask questions. It's a real cheap way to get some life coaching and some direction for your life and for your relationship.
Yeah, you could go to tgplace.org, tgplace.org, to sign up and get more information on it if you're interested in that. Let's continue our discussion. We just read the Bible verse.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God. He gives us victory through Jesus. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Give yourselves to your work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Isn't that awesome? That makes me want to just jump up and cheer. That makes me so happy. I mean, think of it. I could never overcome any of my sins, not a single sin. And yet Jesus has done that for me. He's wiped my slate clean. And yes, I have my daily struggles, and yes, I have tragedies, and yes, I've had trauma in my life. But you know what? The end of the story is so beautiful.
But you know, one thing that always concerns me, I know that I'm, and I think hopefully I'm speaking for all of us, we are all sorry for our sins, but we know that the next day we're going to sin again. I mean, we try not to, but it's almost inevitable, because if we didn't sin, we would be Jesus.
Yes.
So, well, I mean, so...
So in between today...
Where's the victory?
In between today and tomorrow, put that gratitude in.
Yeah.
Put that gratitude in. Focus not on self and on sin, but on Christ the victor, who gives me the victory. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to shift our focus to that. And it may make a difference in our behavior and our mindset and our heart attitude as well.
The gratitude.
Yes, with gratitude. Mm-hmm. With gratitude. It's so important. So, you know, I presume this, because this is a Christian radio station, we are speaking to many Christians, but also to the non-Christians. Imagine if you had a belief system that you believe to be true, that every wrong thing you've ever done can be wiped clean if you are willing to humble yourself and confess to God that you have done wrong, ask forgiveness, and ask for Jesus as your Savior, how that would transform your whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, the burden of sin is the greatest burden of all. The burden of personal sin is the greatest burden of all. And I think as Christians, especially in the West, sometimes we take that for granted, and we become very entitled, almost entitled to sin. You know, right. Using Jesus as a doormat. Oh, I can sin today, repent tomorrow, everything's okay. But think of what that does to someone's heart, to their mind, to their attitude.
Right. Because we obviously take God for granted.
Yes.
As opposed to gratitude. We say, well, he's there. He sent his son to die. And we really don't. Yeah, I think sometimes people don't think of because they say, well, maybe it's me again, but I think there's other people who say, well, you know, it was Jesus. I mean, you know, he's Jesus. I mean, so God gave up his son, but he knew he was going to have his son back anyway. He's going to be right with him at the right hand. So some people wonder, what kind of sacrifice was it? I mean, it was God. Did he suffer?
Oh, this reminds me of a wonderful, wonderful student I had who is now married and an engineer, and he did a stint in the military. But when I knew him when he was 5 years old, I kept trying to teach him that Jesus died on the cross. And at that time, he talked like a caveman. Mm-hmm. And he kept saying, he no die, he be God. And I talked to his mother. I said, does this little guy, does he understand what death is? And this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I'd hold up a crucifix and talk about Jesus dying for our sins. And he'd pipe up and say, he be God, he no die. So one day, when I held up the crucifix, I said to him, he be man, he die. And this little kid fell off his chair laughing, looking up at the heavens with his hands lifted and laughing and saying, he be man, he die. He be man, he die. So he be man, he suffers. He be man, he feels pain. He has a human mind, a human heart, a human soul, a human body, a human spirit. And he endures everything we endure and more, because Hebrews 4 says that he was tempted in every way, yet without sin.
But there will be some people who will say, we'll continue the chat. I hope we can. I know I've deviated, but I do want to ask one more question about this, because
okay.
You are an expert in this.
No, I'm not. No,
well, you are. You're very knowledgeable.
I have an opinion.
Okay, well, we'll continue this discussion. right after this, with Dee Dee Hanson, The Growing Place. We'll come back.
Yeah.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. I have to celebrate. This is Live Local Talk. I have to praise you
like I should. Last segment of the show with Dee Dee Hanson, the drawing place. Dee Dee, I want to make sure I have this right. I don't want to say an expert, but you have a degree in Christian studies. Is that correct?
Yes, I have a master's in Christian studies.
So a master's in Christian studies. So here's a question I have. When Jesus was on the cross, was he aware that, okay, I know that my fate is going to be that I'm going to sit at the right hand of God the Father and rule over the entire world? Was he aware of that on the cross? Because if he was, does that take away from the sacrifice? Because he would not be suffering as we suffer before we die.
Well, you know, that's a really good question. He never suffered because of his own personal sin, but he was tempted. Okay. And I think the temptations that he had are greater than anything you and I have ever experienced, because the temptation had to match his human character.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we mustn't underplay his humanity. We mustn't. He was and is 100% human. You know, one of my trick questions for my church school students is, so Jesus is half God and half man, right? And I try to hook somebody into saying right, but those who know me say wrong. He's all God and he's all man.
Mm-hmm.
So he is like you and me, except without the sin. And the stakes were so much higher for him. I mean, what have I been tempted with compared to what he was tempted with?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not that important.
Yeah.
There's not that much writing on what the choices I make.
Yeah. Well, let's see if I could straighten the compass here on our conversation. We were talking about gratitude, and I think there is a way in which this our little discussion here, a little deviation, focuses in on gratitude, because it is easier to appreciate the gratitude of what Christ did when we fully understand that he was true man and he suffered like we did. So it gives us a better understanding for us to be gracious, you know, for what he has done for us.
Yes, and he suffered more than the criminals on either side, because he had the weight and the burden of the sins of the entire world on him. Mm-hmm. And my own sins are hard for me to carry.
Yeah.
I can't imagine carrying the sins of every human being that ever walked the earth, past, present, and to come, looking from his viewpoint.
Okay, so from a practical sense, from your point of view,
isn't that something to be thankful for?
Of course it is. Of course it is. And I think that's where we were going here, because sometimes we feel like if Jesus didn't really suffer because, well, he was Jesus. You know, I mean, come on, he's Jesus. But I think there's more gratitude when we fully understand how deep his sacrifice was.
And I think that's Satan's little whisper of envy.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to keep us from the fullness of the love of God for us.
Yeah.
Oh, it was easy for him. He didn't go through anything. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He knew that he was going to be at the right hand of God in heaven, and he was going to be, everything was going to be Jake.
Yeah. So
and what you're saying is that he in his human state of mind did not know what he was in store for before his death.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying just like you and me, he would have to apprehend that by faith.
By faith. He would have to have faith that God was there doing it for him.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, look at him in Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was in an agony. It was not just easy, kneesy, nosy. It was hard.
And so from a clinical standpoint, is your role as the at the Growing Place as a licensed marriage and family therapist, how do you take these lessons and make them practical? We only have a couple more minutes of practical use for people who are listening and saying, gosh, I'm having some issues with this.
Well, you know, very often it's because of our own suffering and our own traumas that we have issues with God. We have anger against God. I had anger against God for many years before I became a Lord. Before I became a Christian, and then after I became a Christian, I still had anger issues and I still had unresolved stuff. Basically, where were you when X, Y, and Z happened?
Mm-hmm.
And many of my clients do too. So one of the answers that we can give a Christian client, when you ask Jesus, where were you when X, Y, and Z was happening to me? One of his answers could be, I was hanging on a cross for you. That's where I was. I was suffering for you, not only your sins, but the sins of the perpetrator. the sins of the one who so violated you. I was paying the debt for all of it. That's where I was. Now, I can't just, you know, lay that on a client. The client has to come to that conclusion, but I can, God willing, help the client to realize that.
Well, that is going to, unless there's anything else, we have we covered everything in this series, I think?
Well, everything I think we set out to cover. Uh-huh. Let me give a little preview of where we're going.
Okay.
For our next character strength or virtue, which is the Christian word for it, we're going to be looking at, Lord willing, self-control. And I think that's a very needed thing in our day and age, especially as Americans, because we are bombarded constantly with things that can lead us out of the way, lead us astray, lead us aside from Christ.
Yeah.
So self-control is very important, and, you know, we're kind of a flabby church.
Uh-huh.
I mean that literally, physically flabby and perhaps spiritually flabby, too. So I look forward to talking about self-control with you in the weeks to come.
Well, before we sign off, we have just a few more seconds here. How are things at the Growing Place, and what do people need to know? Anything new going on? I know we have these DVD series.
We have the DVD series. We have the Courageous Living series, which I believe is wrapping up. And we have, of course, life coaches who are different from counselors. They help you reach your goals. They don't look at your past so much. They look at your present and future. And we have MFT trainees, interns, and licensed people, and biblical counselors.
Judy, thank you so much. And if anybody's interested in learning more about the Growing Place, we encourage you to give them a call. If you have some issues you'd like to discuss, involving maybe some addictions, maybe some family issues, some marriage counseling, give Judy or the Growing Place a call. Their number is 588-0448. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you.
We have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Self-control.